Good evening and welcome to this Christmas Eve service. We're so glad that you have made this time a part of your Christmas celebration. And we look forward to hearing the scriptures read once again, announcing the birth of Christ, and to ponder anew what Christ's coming means into our lives. As we sing, as we share together, and as we give together. One of our long-time traditions is to take an offering this night, and we take this offering for two projects. One is for the Wellspring Ministries in Angelica and the new facility that they are building to help with that, and also to the Laganov Hospital in Haiti and to help support their nursing program. So we thank you in advance for your gifts to help us as we help them. Please join me in prayer. Father, during this gathering, as we read the scriptures, sing the carols that proclaim Christ's coming, we pray that you will make this an extraordinary time of experiencing once again the wonder and the mystery and the joy of Christ's birth. And may this serve us once again, cause us to open our hearts and our lives to Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen.
As we light these candles tonight, we thank God for the hope he gives us, for the peace he bestows, for the joy he pours into our hearts, and for the love that redeems us and shows us the way.
We thank God for his gift of Jesus. We thank him that through Christ his light has come into the world and made it possible for us to see, and in seeing, to rejoice. His truth, his love, his very self transforms all who receive him.
We thank God for his gift. Loving God, Emmanuel, we thank you for being with us, for sending your Son to walk with us and to lead us. Grant that the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love of which we have heard and spoken of throughout Advent may be fully realized in us as we worship and serve you through Christ Jesus our Lord, this both now and in the new year that comes this night and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
Micah 5, verses 1 through 5. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, of ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace.
Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord.
Everything inside me cries for order. Everything inside me wants to hide. Is this shadow an angel or a warrior? If God is pleased with me, why am I so terrified? Someone tell me I am only dreaming. Someone help me see with heaven's eyes. And before my head agrees, my heart it's on its knees. Holy is he, blessed am I. can see. I'm just a girl, nothing more. I am willing, I am yours. Oh, 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 oh. Be born in me, born in me. I'll hold you in the beginning, you will hold me in the end. Every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me.
Matthew 1:18-25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took home Mary as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
As I mentioned earlier, we are taking an offering tonight for the nursing school in Haiti, for Wellspring Ministries and Angelica. And we appreciate your generosity as we share with others in need. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and assist us, and please bow with me for prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that our world is filled with need. And you have given us resources that you can use and your people can use to help meet those needs. So tonight, as we celebrate your greatest gift, may our gifts proclaim your love, your salvation, your mercy, your hope, as we give from all of our hearts. And we ask this through Christ. Amen.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. The shepherds go to the manger. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
sitting here in the darkness reminds us that we live in a world of darkness. I don't think anyone has to spend much time convincing us that evil is at work in our world, the evil that darkness symbolizes. We see it in discussions of terrorism and racism. We see it in the greed that drives so much of our world. We see it in the injustice that is prevalent in our world. And the writer Isaiah the prophet says in chapter 60, he looks around and he says, see the darkness that covers the earth, the great darkness that is over the peoples. He knows the darkness. But Isaiah also declares, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Because Isaiah is convinced that despite the darkness, there is light through God. And tonight we come and we celebrate the light that has come in Jesus Christ. We would love to believe and to see the light of Christ coming into the world and completely eliminating the darkness. And that day is coming. We live in the not yet. But even in the not yet, we see the light of Christ. And because Christ has come, because Christ has arisen with his light in this world, evil doesn't have the last word. Sin is not the end. There is hope. Even in the midst of great despair, there is hope, because the light of the world has penetrated the darkness, has pierced the darkness, and has defeated the darkness. It is fascinating to me that after the prophet declares that the light has come, even in the midst of the darkness, he says, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawning. He's saying to the people of Israel and to God's people for the ages to come that those who have the light of God in them shine light in the world that attracts and draws people to it. We're not the source of the light. The light isn't our doing. But when we embrace the light, when the light lives in us, when this little baby comes and is born anew in our hearts, we shine the light of Christ. And it brings light into the darkness, and people are drawn to it. And we tend to think of this light of ours in the darkness as something cataclysmic, stars exploding and rockets going off so that people stand back in awe and run to the light. But it seems to me more often than not that the light we shine in the world, the light of Christ that shines through us, is in the common, ordinary, everyday moments of life. Jesus comes into the common and the ordinary. What's more common and ordinary than a baby being born? Babies are born all the time, every day. It's a part of humanity. And it's a common part of life. And Jesus comes into the commonness of light, the commonness of life, and changes the world. And he calls us to live his light, to shed his light in the commonness of our lives, to forgive when everyone else in the world says you ought to hang on to that grudge, to involve ourselves in people of our world who are neglected and marginalized, to decide to give away when we'd rather hang on to it. The simple, everyday moments of life Will we act as if Jesus lives in us? The way we treat people, the decisions we make, the way we go about our common lives. But it's not just about us as an individual, as important as that is. It's about the combination of our lights. I think something in us wants to believe that the most profound impact on the world is if we can find the largest candle, the largest, greatest life, and let that light so shine so brightly and with such magnificence that people can't believe it. But the reality is, it's your light and my light and your light and your light and your light and your light shining individually and corporately as God's people. And together, we do create this presence of light in the darkness that causes people to step back and say, maybe there's something about that that I'd like to know. And tonight we're going to symbolize that. Tonight, as we have watched, the light from the Christ candle has been taken to the lights in the pew candles. And as we sit here, we have enough light to see a bit, but it's not really enough. But it's amazing, and you get the effect a lot more when you're sitting up, standing up here, looking at you, to watch the light grow as just one candle and one more candle and one more candle and one more candle is lit. And this is the calling of God upon us. Be responsible for our candle and to connect it with the other candles. And so tonight, as we sing together Silent Night, those of you who are seated in the middle aisle, I'm going to ask you to light your candle off of the pew candles. The light will be taken to the balcony, and to pass the light down your row and to watch this room take on light as we sing together this great, simple carol of Christ in the world. Heavenly Father, may the light of your Son shine in us that we might draw others to the light and to the life of Jesus our Lord. And celebrating the coming of Jesus, may we proclaim with our words and our lives, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Receive the benediction. May he who is the light of the world, God Almighty in human flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, may he fill your soul with joy and your heart with love. And may you go from this place with the light of his life shining in you and through you. Amen. Go in peace.